Rick.
We're holding on close to Gimel Amud Bey's 10 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had given a list of types of animals that are where a person is not chayev for shechting or offering them outside the Azara. We had the Parah Aduma, which led us into that whole discussion about whether the area in which the Parah Aduma is burnt has to be pre-checked for Tumah, and that led us into that whole discussion about the Mabul and everything that we had yesterday. So now the Mishnah continues with another case where you don't have to, where there's no issue of Shvotei Chutz. The Mishnah says Sar Mishtaleach, So a person is not chayav for offering it outside the Beis Mikdash because, again, it's not Ruy Lover, it's not Ruy Lover B'fnim. It's not something that would have been brought as a korban because it was supposed to, it's supposed to be thrown off the cliff, out in the desert. So the Gemara says a Rami, you have a contradiction. Shikim Kubetzes actually has a more expansive girsa. The Gemara asks, "Is Sodom Ashtalech Lav Roy LePesach Oyomoyed? Who isn't that Roy to the come to the door of Oyomoyed?" But Hotanya, we learn in the Brisa when the pasuk says that a person offers a korban outside the Beis Mikdash, and the expression in the pasuk is Oy korban, or if he brings a korban. Now, a korban can have a more generic meaning. Korban doesn't have to mean specifically something offered on the mizbeach. Shemeyan, for the kodesh vedek abayis, you could assume that it means that a korban means even something which is brought to vedek abayis, just for the upkeep of the Beis Mikdash and not brought on a mizbeach at all. Shenikru korban, such things are called a korban. Shenem vanakru, that's korban Hashem. We find at the end of the war with Midian that the generals of the army come to Moshe, and they tell them, we lost nobody in the battle, therefore we want to bring a special korban to Hashem. We want to bring all the gold, all the golden ornaments that we found in the spoils, and bring them to Hekdesh for Bedek HaBayis. Rashi brings the beginning of the Braisa, that a person is chayiv only for a korban, not for shecht and cholin bifnim, but then maybe kotcher bet kabayis, again, as the Gemara picks up over here, is called a korban. So, as we find that those golden ornaments were called a korban to Hashem. Note, Tamadlam of El Pesach Oyomoyed Lo Yavi, the pasuk says he did not bring it to the door of the Oyomoyed, which implies Misha Roy Lover by Oyomoyed, only something which is suitable to come to the Oyomoyed, to Pesach Oyomoyed, Yotsu Kodshabedek Abayas, Chein and Ruyin, as opposed to Kodshabedek Abayas, which are not brought to Pesach Oyomoyed. Now, why not? Rashi says two reasons. First, he says he heard from Ezra Bayim taught him that the reason is because animals that are designated for Bedek HaBayis are Bali Mumim, typically. Because you actually also take an animal which is a Tomim and designate it for Bedek HaBayis. You have an animal that's a Tomim, you want to be Makdashit to Hashem, bring it as a Korban. So therefore, Bedek HaBayis of necessity are going to be Bali Mumim. But then Rashi says that over here you don't really need to say that. The fact is, based on the context of our Gemara over here, the fact is, even if it's Tomim, then still it's not Roy Lovey or Pesach HaYomoyed, then because after all it was meant for Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, and therefore it would be no different than the Parah Aduma, for example. The Parah Aduma by definition is Tomim, but it's not Roy Lovey or Pesach HaYomoyed. So the same thing it would be with Kodesh Bedek HaBayis, even if they happen to be Tomimim. Tosfos points out that's not really a proof. The fact is the fact is that the Parah Aduma is not ever meant to come anywhere near the Mizbeach as opposed to Kodesh Bedek HaBayis. Whatever the point is, in other words, they're not Roy Lover the Pesach HaYomoyed. So fine. So that excludes Kodesh Bedek HaBayis. Next, the Braisa continues Otzias Elu. So fine, that would tell us to exclude these for Einan Ru'oyin, which are not suitable to be brought as korbanos. The loy otzi a sorim shtalei actual roy lover of pesach oyomoyed, but not exclude the sorim lazozel, which is after all roy to come to the oyomoyed, because after all it starts out you do a girdle between it and the other sor, and one of them is picked as the sorim lashem and the other is the sorim lazozel, and either one could have been the sorim lashem to begin with, which would be a korban. So therefore, the Braisa is specifically saying that we exclude Lahotzi, or on the side here it says Larabos, whatever the point is. So you would think that so the Lahotzi is certain for actual Roy Lovel Pesach HaYomoyed. Tamad Lema Lashem. Therefore, the pasuk says Lashem. Vahotzi, or the Rabbis, it says on the side, Sarda Meshtaleach, to exclude the Sarda Meshtaleach from, we don't say that this Petur applies to it, or the other Giris of the Rabbis would be the other way around, to include it, that the Din of Shchut Echut does apply to it. So we see from this, who wrote, so Vahotzi, Sarda Meshtaleach, Sha'inim Yuchad Lashem. So it's not uniquely defined for Hashem because it's sent to Azazel. So in other words, the Braitha does come out with the same conclusion as the Mishnah that the Sarah Azazel person is not hired for Shchut Echutz, but based on different reasons. The on Mishnah is saying that it's not Roy Lovel of Pesach HaYomayid, and whereas the Braitha is saying it would have been Roy, and the only reason why not is because it says Lashem. In fact, by the way, Tosfos Yeshanim in Yuma points out over there that the Gemara is going to explain that there's a difference between before and after the girdle. Well, before the girdle, then you can't use the word Lashem for that anyway because it's not yet Lashem. So one answer is the Gemara could have used that answer over here, but it uses better answers. In any case, what is it? So are we being mimayat the Sarad HaMashtaleach by virtue of the fact that it's not Roy Lovel of Pesach HaYomayid, or is it because it's not uniquely defined as Lashem yet? So the answer is Lo Kasha, Kan Kodem HaGrola, Kama Achar HaGrola. That's the difference between before the girdle has been made or after the girdle. Before the girdle, yeah, it was Roy Lovel because after all, it could have been the one picked for the Sarad HaMashtaleach. So the only reason to exclude it is because not uniquely Lashem, because we don't know whether it's going to end up being the one Lashem. Whereas Astra Hagdala is what our Mishnah is talking about. So then it's not Rory Lovey, the Pesach HaYomayid, because now it's been defined definitively. This one is going to be the Sarah Lazazel, and it's never going to be brought as a carbon. So therefore, before and after the girdle. So even after the girdle, the vidui still has to be done, the kohen gadol still has to do the vidui to Hashem on the Sarah Lazazel, and that has to be done in the Azara, so it still has to be brought up Pesach HaYomayid. It still has to be in front of the door of the HaYomayid until the vidui is done. So the Gemara says, Elon Maramani, but Kasha, you're right. Kan Kodem Vidui, Kan Macha Vidui. Fine. Before and after the Vidui, respectively, before he does the Vidui, then at that point, it's still Roy Lover Bifnim. And the only reason to say that he's Potter, if he shechts it at that point, is because it's not Lashem, because it's not uniquely defined as Lashem anymore, because it is going to end up being the Sar Lazar. But then after the video, you don't even need that. Then it's considered he's potter on the grounds if it's not Roy Lovel of Pesach HaYomayid. So in that case, Tosfos points out, then in that case, then really, listen, if it's potter before Vidui, then of course the person is potter after Vidui, all the more so. So why we need Pesach HaYomayid at all is really more because of the Parah, Adruma, and the Kotchevetic Abayis. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss other reasons why we need the word Pesach HaYomayid. In any case, that's that then. So a person is indeed potter for offering the Sarah Lazazel outside the Beis Hamikdash, but there'd be a difference why he's potter before the vidui, before the Kohen Gadol's vidui on it, versus afterwards. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we said that an animal that was used for bestiality is also, even if it was designated for a korban and then used for bestiality, then a person is, and then we had a variety of other things, muktza, neva, there was a whole list over there that he offered them outside the Azara, then he's potter. Because again, they're not Roy Lover Bifnim, they're not animals that should have ever been brought as korbanis. So the Mishnah had said that he's potter because it says in the pasuk lifnei Mishkan Hashem, that they have to be brought before the Mishkan of Hashem, and these are not meant to come to the Mishkan. So when asked about Navi to blame Pesach HaYomayid, here also we should just be learning from El Pesach HaYomayid. Why do we need the extra words lifnei Mishkan Hashem? So Bishlema Roveya Venirba. So when it comes to Roveya Venirba, it's easier to understand why the Mishnah needs to tell us a different limud for it. Because you could have a case where first he was makdish them, and later on they were used for bestiality. So it was already, there came a point when it was capable of being brought as a korban. So now we can't say Al Pesach HaYomayid because we're talking about Al Pesach HaYomayid would tell us something that was never meant to be brought as a korban in the first place. But here, when it was kosher, then he should have brought it. So therefore, we need, in other words, the words lifnei Mishkan Hashem. That the fact is, right now it's not. It's right now it's not lifnei Mishkan Hashem anymore. Now Rashi points out, as far as the Sorel HaZazel that we just talked about, that's different. The reason why we use Al Pesach for that after Vidui, because he did bring it where he was supposed to. He brought it into the Azara, he did the Goral, he did the Vidui, and now once he takes it out, then yeah, it's no longer Nira Lava, it's no longer suitable to come in front of Pesach HaMoed, and therefore we could use that. But here we're talking about Revei of Anirba, where at one point it was kosher to bring it as a carbon, and then, before he brought it, it was used for bestiality, then at that point we can't use Al Pesach HaYom Moed to be memaized anymore. We need a different pasuk, lifnei Mishkan Hashem. So therefore, so that would explain why we need it for those. Ela muktza v'nevad, but we have to ask, if we're talking about you already makdish it, and then you made it muktza, or then you made it nevad, of necessity that has to be before you makdish them, because after you makdish them, designating them to be used as a korban for avodah zarah, or even worshipping them themselves, wouldn't work. Einonim oisa gava shena shaloi. A person cannot ask for something that doesn't belong to him. Once he's makdish it, it's not his anymore. So how would, So now, it's one thing, Tosfos talks about elsewhere, it's one thing, for example, if they actually use it for bestiality, where they do a Maisa with it, then sure, even a Maisa is able to ask for it, even if it's not theirs. But here we're not talking about a Maisa, here we're talking about verbally designating, or doing some kind of minor Maisa that makes it, that now it's going to be brought as a korban for Avodah Zarah, or that it itself is going to be worshipped, it just bows to it or something. You can't, that person can't ask for it when it doesn't belong to him. So why should it be author? And if we're talking about that these things happened before he was ever makdish it, then we should be able to use the words El Pesach HaMoed that to be memaized, because these things are not capable to begin with of being brought to Pesach HaMoed. So the answer is B'Kodshim Kalin, because we're talking about it here in the Mishnah, specifically about Kodshim Kalin, Val Libid Rabbi Yisrael Glili, and our Mishnah will be following Rabbi Yisrael Glili, Dama Kodshim Kalin Mom and Bailam. He holds that Kodshim Kalin are considered to be the property of the owner. Meaning, person designates an animal as an oila, obviously at that moment it belongs to Hashem and he has to bring it as a korban. But when it comes to a shlomim, let's say, where he's mostly going to be eating it himself anyway after we offer the appropriate parts of him as there, so the chachamim hold it's also still kodshim ha-kodshim, it still belongs to Hashem, Hashem is just granting you a portion of it. But Rabbi Yosef Lili holds that it's actually considered to be your property still. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, when the Pasuk says Mala Mal Bashem, the Pasuk describes a person who does Me'ila, who uses something that, the actual Pasuk is not about Me'ila, it's rather about the case where a person denies a monetary claim from somebody else. So Lerabah, the words Mala Mal Bashem, Lerabah, Kodshim Kalim, Shem Amoyin, Divir Rabbi Yosef Lili. Rabbi Yosef Lili says that that adds the case of Kodshim Kalim, which are considered his Mamoyin. Meaning, in other words, Rashi describes, Suppose that Reuven has an animal for a korban, and he gave it, let's say, to Shimon to watch for him, and later on Shimon denies that had happened. So now when he admits it, he is going to have to pay Keren L'Chomesh and bring a korban Asham. Why? Because it is, Rabbi Yosef Lili considers that it still is Reuven's property. It's a korban, it belongs to Hashem. But no, Rabbi Yosef Lili says, because to begin with, if it's supposed to be a shlomim, then it's still considered his property. So on Mishnah, then we'd be talking about, according to that opinion, that it is possible for the person, since it still belongs to him, if he's still capable, even after being makdish it, of making it a muktzah or a nevah. So the Gemara summarizes Hilkach. So therefore, on Mishnah, the flow of our Mishnah is as follows. Reveya v'nirba, when it comes to Reveya v'nirba, animals that we use for bestiality, the problem with them is Dvar Erva. Those are matters of erva, and that's, in other words, an actual maisa that was done, that can apply even to ones that were already declared kodesh. Because again, a major maisa like that, so we'll pass them. So therefore, they're not a korban, they're not capable of being brought as a korban. And therefore a person is not chayav for bringing them. But the point is, we were already makdish them before, therefore we need the words lifnei Mishkan Hashem to exclude those, even though they were at one point capable of being brought, lifnei Pesach HaYomoyed, but now they can't be brought, lifnei Mishkan Hashem, because of the Reveya v'Nirba, and therefore he's potter for them. Next, and that would so that would be dvar erva. So that would be because of a matter of erva. Mukta v'nevad. The reason why mukta and nevad is potter is because those are matters of avodas kachavim. Because they were involved in avodas zara, and specifically that would be the kodshim kalim. And again, that would specifically be by kodshim kalim. We just said because only according to Rabbi Yosef Lili would they be possible. According to the Chachamim, they wouldn't even be possible because it's impossible after he was makdish them to ever make them mukta or nevan. Next, esnan umuchir kilayim yotzedosin. What about the other four cases of the Mishnah where it was used for esnan for the fee for a zoyna, or umuchir where it was used as the exchange for a dog, or kilayim? Or where it's a hybrid animal, the yotzedofen, or where it was born by C-section. And again, we have to figure out why do we need a special miut for those from Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. All of those are possible to bring as a korban, and we should be able to be mayit them from El Pesach Oyo Moed. The reason is, we have to say that all four of them is talking about where at one point they were kosher to be, they would have been kosher to be brought to the korban, so we can't find that by them themselves. For example, if you were makdish an animal, and then you want to use it as esnan, wouldn't work. It's not yours to give her as esnan. Same thing with mechir and the other ones. So it wouldn't work. Tosfos points out, even Rabbi Yosef Lili, who says that they're mum and bialim, he wouldn't hold that esnan and mechir is going to work. He would hold that it works as far as, he would hold it works as far as mukta and nevad, but not as far as esnan and mechir. Even Rabbi Yosef Lili wouldn't hold that. So therefore, the only way we could make it work is with babies of kodshin. So what we mean is, in other words, a person was makdish, an animal, and then it became pregnant. Actually, we'll learn in Masechet Tzmura next year, Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about distinctions between whether the animal was pregnant when you were makdish it, if it became pregnant afterwards, whatever. The point is, in other words, so you can have, for example, you were makdish an animal, later on it becomes pregnant. Now what happens is he declared that the baby in the womb should be used as esnan or should be used as mechir or whatever. So what we'd have is like this. Before, we're talking about the mother animal is already pregnant. Then he decides the baby, I will use the baby as an esnad. He promises a zoyna, he tells her, I'm going to have relations with you now, and later on when this baby is born, I'll give it to you. So the baby now becomes esnad. Now later on he's makdish the mother. So the baby is able to be esnan. So if it weren't for that, the kasavar, because the Tana of our Mishnah holds vlodik kodshim b'havayos and hein kedoshim, that the vlodis don't become kodesh when they were first in the womb. They become kodesh only when they're born. So it is possible. We don't even have to have that. We were makdish the mother after declaring the baby to be esnan or whatever. We'd be talking about, in other words, when you were first makdish the mother, at that point the baby would have gone along with it, and when you were makdish the mother, you would have been makdish the baby as well, and therefore Pesach Hayom Moed would apply. But now instead you declared the baby esnan, and it's possible to do that because the baby is not yet kodesh until it's actually born. Up until that point it's considered neutral, so it's possible to make them esnan, and therefore now you could have, you can't be mamayit them from the words Pesach Hayom Moed, because they would have come to Pesach Hayom Moed. The only thing you can exclude them from is Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, because at this point they became posel, and it's impossible to bring them Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. But if you say that they become Kodesh already in the womb, then it wouldn't work anyway, then the Esnan Umechir wouldn't work, because as soon as you makdish the mother, automatically you makdish the baby as well, and then in fact the whole concept of Esnan and Umechir and all these other things would be impossible. Kalayim, I guess, Kalayim is a physical thing, it's just a physical hybrid of two different animals, so that would work with babies, but in any case, So therefore, that's what the Mishnah means. In other words, those four things. So these are the ones. This is why the Mishnah needs to say Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, because there were certain things that would have been kosher at one point and then became posel, and we can't exclude them from Pesach or Moed, but we can exclude them from Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here. That, of course, well, these animals are, that of course, if the baby wasn't, and in any case, even if the baby wasn't Esnan or Mechir or whatever, it would be like Chulin. It doesn't even need Pidyon. And then Tosfos goes on and discusses in some detail about all these dinim of babies and animals and when we say it has Kedush Laguf and when not. So Tosfos gives a different explanation that we're talking about over here after they became Esnan or Mechir. Then he was makdish them. So now kedusha is chal on them, but nevertheless they're already esnan or mechir, and therefore lifnei mishkan Hashem is going to apply that you can't bring them as a korban, and therefore we're being memayat that a person is not chayiv if he does end up shechting them outside the azara. We said in the Mishnah, Bale Mumin Chulo, we had three different cases where Reb Shimon and the Chachamim argue. Where an animal has a mum over, a temporary mum, was the first one. The second one was where you have birds that are turtle dogs that are not yet mature enough to be brought as korbanos. And then you have the third case was oisaves bnei, was cases where the korban is not ready yet to be brought. Oisaves bnei mechusas man, where he shechted the mother or the baby on the same day, and then he's not allowed to shech the other one on the same day. Or where the person himself is not yet ready to bring the korban, for example, a mitzvah who's before his eighth day of tara. We'll talk about that soon in the Gemara. We'll talk about that on Amud Beis, actually. Different cases where so either the animal itself is not yet 8 days old, or the person himself is not yet ready to bring it because he hasn't reached that stage of Tara. In each of these three cases, Reb Shimon had argued with the Chachamim and said that there's a lav involved. There's no kodesh, he agrees, because they're not yet roy to bring us a korban, but there's at least a lav involved. And the Chachamim in each of these cases reply that, no, there is, where there's no kodesh, then there's no lav. So the question is why Reb Shimon has to repeat himself in three different machloikasim. So, the Gemara says with Srichi, we do need all three of these machloikasim. The Itana Balin Mumin, if the Mishnah had only mentioned the case where there were temporary Balin Mumin, you would say, why the Chachamim say there's no lav instead, why there's no lav even involved Mishum Dimi'isi, because they're disgusting. As long as they have a mum, then it's disgusting to bring them as a korban. You have, the Torah tells us you can't bring a korban with a mum, and you have a concept the Gemara mentions in a lot of places in Shas, Hakuzehu Novachach Secha, when he brings such a thing as the Navi Malachi says to the Jewish people of his time, would you bring such a thing to your governor? And he'd accept it? No, of course not. He certainly can't bring it to Hashem. So that being the case, then we would understand why the Chachamim would say that there's no lav even involved in shechting it outside the Azara. Aval Turdin, Deloy Me'isi, but when it comes to the turtle dogs, there's nothing wrong with them. They're immature, but there's not disgusting to bring them a korban. So when it comes to Turdin, he would think maybe not. Maybe they do agree with Reb Shimon that there should be a lav in bringing those at that point. The Itana Torin, on the other hand, if it only said the case of the turtle doves, you would say, Mishum B'lech Chozi V'idhu. Just the opposite, though. On the other hand, the Torin were never previously suitable for a korban, and then pushed off from being used as a korban. To begin with, they had never reached the stage yet of being acceptable as a korban. Aval Balin Mumin, but when it comes to Balin Mumin, the Ichzu, they were at one point suitable for a korban. The Idhu, now they're pushed off because of the Mum. So Eimaloi, the Moidulhu, Reb Shimon, and Abanan. Maybe on the contrary, maybe Reb Shimon would have to agree with the Chachamim that in that case that there would be no lav involved. The fact is, right now they're Dechoyin, as opposed to, again, the Turim, which were never acceptable as a Korban in the first place. There is an interesting point made in this regard that comes out from this, that we'd have a Svara to say that something that was never acceptable, is less of a problem than something that was nira and nidcha. So we would think maybe that that Reb Shimon holds that way. Actually, though, the Keren Ora says that maybe the Girsa should be the other way around. We just said in the piece in the Gemara, we just had the discussion about the korbanos that were to begin with roi to come to things that were roi to begin with as a korban and then became posel versus ones that were never roi in the first place. And we just had this whole discussion about the Reveya and Nirba and Muktzav and Nebar and all that. So based on that, maybe in fact we would say that something that was that was suitable and now is not. Maybe there'd be more reason to say that he's chayav for something, and therefore maybe we would say that the Chachamim agree with Reb Shimon that at least there's a lav, but the Gemara is saying that not. So therefore, we need those two. The Itona Hani Tauti, if we had those two, you would say Mishum the Psula de Gufaihu. You know what? Each of them is a psul in the actual body of the animal itself. In the case of the Baal Mum, it itself has a mum. In the case of the totem, it itself is not mature enough yet. Aval Osaves Bnoi, or the other cases where it can't be brought yet because either the animal itself, well, so you have the cases where the animal itself is immature. Fine, that's also a psul in its growth. But you have again where the person himself is not yet ready to bring this korban. So those kinds of cases. No, again, the mother was shechted, and that doesn't directly affect the baby. It affects it halachically, but there's nothing that happened to the baby itself, or vice versa. So when it's a psul, the psula me alma kaasi, the psul comes from someplace else, from outside the animal itself. Ema modulei rabbanon Reb Shimon. Maybe the chachamim would have to agree with Reb Shimon that at least there should be a lav in that case. And therefore, tzricha, therefore we need all three machloikas in to make it clear that in all three cases, Reb Shimon holds that there's a lav, and the Chacham holds that there is not. Here also, Tosfos discusses which one is stronger, a psul in the guf, or a psul that comes from elsewhere. But Tosfos is saying the fact is over here it seems to be saying the other way around, that a psul of the guf, for sure there would be no lav, but a psul me'alma, maybe they would hold that there is a lav. But the fact is that when we say a psul is in his guf, conceivably, suppose hypothetically that mum were to disappear right away, or suppose the turtle dove were to grow up right away, then it would immediately be roy. As opposed to oisav esminoi, there's nothing you can do. The rest of that entire day, there's nothing you can do for that korban. There's nothing that can happen for that korban to be kosher. Necessarily, you're going to have to wait until the next day. So therefore, the Gemara thinks that maybe in that case, the Chachamim would agree that in that case, offering it today should at least involve a lav, and the answer is that no. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Shahoya Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon had set a rule in the Mishnah as follows. Anything which is roi to be brought on the Mizbeach later on, then a person is chayav for a loisa said doing it even now. So again, the idea is, with all these three cases, the Baal Mum over, right now, you can't bring it as a korban because it has a mum. But eventually, that mum will go away and it'll be roi to come as a korban again. Therefore, Reb Shimon says there's a lav involved in bringing it now outside the Azara. And the same thing with the other two cases, with the immature Torim and with the Osev Esbenoi. So the Gemara says, my time at Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon hold that if it's going to be brought as a korban later, then a person is chayav for it as a lav now? Amar Reb Ila, Amar Shlokish, the Amakra. You have a pasuk in Parshas Re'e. Loi sasun kechol asher anachnu osim poi hayoyim. Do not do according to everything that all of us are doing today here. Now, what does that mean? Today, when Moshe says this pasuk, is in the Midbar when they still have the Mishkan. So Rashi brings from the Sifri that darshins as follows. It means when right now we have the Mishkan with us, and it goes with us wherever we go. Right now, the only place we can bring korbanos is in the Mishkan. And therefore, we can bring all korbanos, all the different types of korbanos that describes throughout the Torah, we can bring them in the Mishkan. But now, loy sasun, there's going to come a point soon when you're going to first enter Eretz Yisrael, when we're not going to be doing everything that we're doing now, namely at that point, as we talked about in the Mishnah, we're going to have the Mishkan is going to be in a temporary location in Gilgal. And during that time, bomus will be mutter. During that time, you will not be able to bring all the korbanos that we're bringing now, namely,
Namely, in other words, instead, the Mishkan is going to be downgraded, as we talk about in the Mishnah, the Mishkan is going to be downgraded to a Bama Gdola, and therefore not all Korbanos will be able to be brought on it. So now, the Gemara explains in a similar vein. So, Omalahu Moshe Yisrael, Kiyai Litu La'aretz, when you first come into Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishkan is located temporarily in Gilgal, Yashrus Takridu. You can bring any Korbanos, Yashrus, Yisharis, whatever, you can bring any, only Korbanos that, as the Pasuk finishes, so that we have to read the whole Pasuk actually. Lois Sasam Tachel Asher Anachna Oisim Poi Hayoim, do not do according to everything that we're doing now today here, Ishkola Yashub Einav, each person what's good in his eyes. So we're dashing as follows. It means loy sasu, and it's not a lav, it's not saying don't, it's saying you will not be bringing korbanos in their first few years in Eretz Yisrael, as all the types of korbanos that you are bringing now, what will you bring during those 14 years? Ishkala yashub einav, whatever is good in your eyes, meaning only voluntary korbanos, nedorim and nedavas. So you can bring an oila as if you can bring an oila as an adava, you can bring a shlomim as an adava. But obligatory korbanos, a chata, so other such korban, you're not going to be able to bring during that time. You're going to have to wait until the Mishkan is set up in Shiloh. The Gilgal, the Gabesh Shiloh, Mechus Zmanahu. Now, when you consider what's going to happen, soon enough the Mishkan is going to be moved from Gilgal and come to Shiloh. Once the Mishkan is set up in Shiloh, it will be a full-fledged Mishkan again, and it will have the same dinim as the Mishkan in the Midbar, and they will be able to bring all korbanos there. But now, suppose a person were to bring a korban in Gilgal, that instead he should have waited until Shiloh, it's an example of Mechus Zman. Gilgal, relative to Shiloh, is considered Mechus Zman. Because what we're saying is, in other words, it's not yet time to bring this chadash, to bring this asham. And Bakamalu Moshe Loi Sasun, and Moshe is telling them, do not do it. Implying, says Reb Shimon, that with Mechusar Zman, there will be a lav. Well, there you go then. So that's where he gets in the Mishnah, that when there's Mechusar Zman, there will be a lav involved. He agrees, there's no Kares, but he holds that there'll be a lav for Mechusar Zman, and similarly for these other cases that he described in the Mishnah, where the Korban is a Korban, but is not ready to be brought yet because it has a temporary mum, or because it's an immature term. So that's where Reb Shimon gets his opinion from. The Chacham would learn the Mishnah differently, fine, but would learn the Pasuk differently, but fine. According to Reb Shimon, that's where he gets his lav from. But Reb Yumi asks Reb Zera, if you're telling me that we're learning an actual lav from this pasuk, milki nami luki, then a person ought to get malchus. If a person had shechted a korban in Gilgal, then instead he should have waited until Shiloh, then he should be getting malchus for it. And for that matter, all these cases of Mechusar Zman, all these cases, Reb Shimon says he's over on a lav, he never says he's chayv malchus. So you should be getting malchus. Alama omer Reb Zera akos of nitkelasa. Why instead does Reb Zera say that in a case of osav esknoi that a person is a lav on nitkelasa because the pasuk tells us an esse in connection with it, namely as follows. It actually brings from the relevant Gemara and Cholin. Now, you have Oisiv Espinoy applies both to Kodshim and Cholin. This issue that if you shech the mother, you can't shech the baby on the same day, and vice versa, applies both to Cholin and Kodshim. So the Mishnah says over there that suppose, for example, a person took the mother animal and shechted it. That the rest of the day he's also to shech the baby. Now the Mishnah there says in Chulin that if he were to go and shech the baby on that same day as a korban inside the azara, then he would be over on this issue of oisav esbnoi and he'd get malchus for it. So the Gemara asks over there that he should get another malchus because the pasuk says lo yerotze, there are certain animals that are not acceptable as korbanos. So he should be over also on the lava, Mechusar Zman, and be over on Lo Yerotze. So the Gemara brings there from a pasuk that there's an esser right after that, and therefore the Torah is implying that this is not a regular lav. The Torah says over there an extra esser to tell us that this is not a regular lav, this is only, he's only over on an esser. Tosfos points out, usually lav hanitek l'eser has a different meaning. Usually lav hanitek l'eser means something which is a lav, but you did the lav, now the Torah tells you do an eser to make up for it. For example, you're not allowed to leave over from a korban beyond the deadline, but if you do, then boon it. So therefore, a person doesn't get malchus for leaving over from a korban because the lav hanitek l'eser. Don't steal, and if you stole the heshev es hagzeila, then you should return it, and so forth. So you have examples like that where the Torah specifically tells us, don't do X, but if you did X, then here's what you should do to counteract that. That's what we usually mean by lav hanitek l'eser. Here, Tosfos points out that the Gemara is that Reb Zera is using the word lav hanitek l'eser in a different sense, meaning that this is pulled away from being a regular lav and becomes, in effect, only an eser. And Tosfos goes on to discuss that there are other places in Shas maybe where we have such things as well. Anyway, the point is that Reb Zera is saying that no, the issur of offering mechusar zman is something that does not get a lav because the Torah instead turns it into an eser. So then in that case in Chulin, the person had taken the bnoi after having shechted oisai out as a korban or as Chulin, it doesn't matter for our purposes, and now he goes and shechts the bnoi as a korban in the Azara, he's only getting malchus for the fact that he's Ovan Oisaves Noi. He's not getting malchus for the fact that it's an unacceptable korban, because as far as that's concerned, it's considered only an eser. Well then, in that case, so that means that mechusar zman is only an eser. So, but the question is, if Reb Shimon is learning that, if Reb Shimon is learning that when it comes to Gilgal relative to Shiloh, it's considered mechusar zman, and here the Torah says, loy sasun, do not do it, and there's no such thing, it doesn't say any essay involved, so therefore, you ought to be getting malchus. And yet, based on Reb Zera's rule, he doesn't. Why is Reb Shimon saying that there's even a lav involved? It should come out that according to the Shlokas' Jerusha, there would in fact be Malkus involved, and yet according to Reb Zera's Jerusha, it seems that there should not. It's not like Reb Shlokas and Reb Zera can't disagree with one another, but the question is, Reb Zera's principle seems to be derivable clearly from the Mishnah in Chulin, because that's why the Mishnah in Chulin says he's only getting one malchus, not two, and therefore how can Rish Lakish argue with that? So the Gemara says that Hani Milu Rabbanan. You know what? That drasha of Reb Zera's would only be that drasha of Reb Zera's, and that Mishnah in Chulin that it depends on would only be according to the Rabbanan. Well, the Rabbanan are saying over here that there's no loisa set from a chosez man. Reb Shimon Hachinami. According to Reb Shimon, as a matter of fact, yes, according to Reb Shimon, he would get Malkus, and Reb Zera's whole principle wouldn't apply. Very well, Reb Shimon is entitled to disagree with the Mishnah in Cholin that says that he gets only one Malkus. Reb Shimon might well hold that he gets two Malkus, one for the fact that it was Mechos Tuzman. So it would come out then that he would be over on Mechusar Zman. I mean, the Keren Ora points out that actually, you know, the context of our Gemara is not really Mechusar Zman. It's more that he's over on Shchut Echutz. But in other words, the point is, Reb Shimon would say that by the same token, that he's over on a lav when it comes to Shchut Echutz, and he would get Malkus. That's one answer. Reb Nachman Yitzchok Amar. Reb Nachman Yitzchok gives a different answer. Ponim de Gilgal, Legabish, Pnim de Gilgal, Legabish Shiloh, Kechutz Dami. Another answer would be that a korban, the inside of the Azara of Gilgal would be considered as far as relative to korbanos that was supposed to be brought in Shiloh is not considered mechusar zman. We would rather consider it like chutz. It would be considered outside. Yes, it has the kedusha of the Azara for certain purposes. It is a mishkan after all, but nevertheless, relative to choivus, relative to obligatory korbanos, which we're saying cannot be brought in Gilgal, so that's considered the equivalent of bachutz, and therefore you would have the usual loisessa of shchut echutz, and therefore Reb Shimon would say that he is over on a lav and would even be chayv malchus for it. So nothing to do with mechusar. So mechusar zman doesn't even really come into the picture according to Reb Nachman Yitzchok. Another answer. Rabba Amar Taima Dirab Shimon Kinditanya. Rabba says, here's another way we can understand Reb Shimon's opinion that there's a lav involved in these korbanos that are not yet ready to be brought is as follows. Kedatani, as we learn in Braisa, Reb Shimon Omer, minayim lezeveach Pesach b'bamas yochid b'shach isra b'bamas. How do we know that if a person offers a korban Pesach on a private b'bama at a time when bummer as a time at a time when bummers are also shahuba loisese, he's over on a special loisese. Now Isra Bomber sounds like it means, Rashi says it sounds like it means the times when bombers are also, namely when the Mishkan in the desert and the Mishkan in the Shiloh and the Beis Mikdash. So how do we know he's over on a loisese? Tamadlam lois suchal is boyach as a posach. Therefore the posach says you're not allowed to shech the korban Pesach. Yochel ach b'shach heter abomis kain. Continues Reb Shimon, you would think the same thing is true even when bomis are mutter. Tamadama ba'achan sha'arecha. No, because the pasuk continues, and I'll have to shech the korban Pesach in one of your gates, meaning in one of your cities, from which we learn, like a marki l'cha, el b'shach shakoyis yon l'chnosin b'shar echad. So this din applies, this issue applies, only when all Jews go into one gate, namely the Beis Mikdash, namely the Mishkan or the Beis Mikdash, only then is it also to bring the Korban Pesach on a Bamas Yochid. But otherwise not. Now, we have to figure out, says Rabbi Amos, what time of day is Reb Shimon talking about? If you're going to say that he's shechting an after Chatzos of the 14th, then what do you mean? Why is he only over on a loisese when bomas are also koris nami mechayiv? In that case, he's chayiv koris because he should have brought it. It was roi lover b'fnim. He should have brought it to the azora and brought it as a korban. El alav kodim chatzos. Evidently, we're talking before chatzos, so it's mechusar's man. And you see, Reb Shimon says that there's a lav for mechusar's man. But the Gemara answers that's not a proof. Lo olam la'acha chatzos. You could say that we are in fact talking achah chatzos over shas heter on bomas koi, and in fact we're saying that even in a time when bomas are mutter, you're still not allowed to bring the korban pesach on them. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Behold, shas isur on bomas koma. What do you mean? It says at the time when bomas are usur. So it means the Gemara says isur bomah loy heter bomah lachaveri. Means that there's an isur of a bomah for this particular korban, but at that time bomas are mutter for certain other types of korbanas oila and shlomim that were neder and nedava. So in other words, you would think that at the time when you are allowed to bring oilas and shlomim on a bomah, you would think then what we'd be saying is that when it comes to the korban pesach, we would say that even when bomas are mutter, you're never allowed to bring the korban pesach on a bomas yochid. And when he says talmud loyim ba'achan sharecha would mean don't think that the lav of shechting the korban pesach on a bomas yochid applies before chatzos. Before chatzos it becomes a shlomim. Rather, it applies only after chatzos. And after chatzos, if a person offers the korban pesach on a bama, even at a time when bama is hamutter, then he's over on this lav. It's interesting, by the way, the Rambam brings this in the Sefer Hayad. He does bring this concept that if a person shechs the korban pesach on a bama siyachid, then he's over on a lav. The Rambam seems to have originally included it in his list of 613 mitzvahs as well. And the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch, which follows the Rambam's enumeration, does in fact list that. It seems that the Rambam later on changed his mind and decided, after all said and done, that's only a historical thing. Once, as we've learned many times, and as we're going to learn further in our parak as well, once the Beis Mikdash was built, you're never allowed again to bring korbanos on a bamas yochid. You know, any korbanos. So therefore, the whole question of bringing the korban pesach on a bamas yochid is kind of moot. So therefore, it seems that the Rambam took that out of his listing. So the Chinuch had used an earlier version of the Rambam's listing, so he has it. But later on, the Rambam took that out and found a different lav to fill out to fill up the list of 613 instead. When we say on Pesach night Shavuos night, when we say Tikkun Leil Shavuos, and one of the things we say in the Tikkun is to go as we go through the 613 mitzvahs, you actually end up having 614 mitzvahs over there because you have this list of 613 as the Rambam's conclusion, but you do also have and parenthesis in the appropriate place. In Parashas Re'eh, you have this mitzvah not to shech the korban pesach on a bamas yochid, which was part of the Rambam's original enumeration, and then he took out. Next, The Mishnah had continued Mechusa's man fuller. The Mishnah had continued that you have different cases of Mechusa's man. Mechusa's man can include when the animal itself is not yet ready to be brought as a korban, either because, again, it's not 8 days old yet, and the minimum age for a korban, for an animal korban, is 8 days, or because Oseves Benoy, again, because the mother or baby was shechted that same day. But then the Mishnah had said that you can also have Mechusa's man bebailim, namely, where the owner is not yet ready to bring the korban. So we said, the Mishnah had said, a zov, or a yeledes, who are not yet ready to bring their korbanos. A zov has to wait until he has to have 7 clean days, and then he goes to the mikveh, and then he can bring his korbanos the next day. A zov is similar. A yeledes has to wait until the 41st day after a boy, and the 81st day after a girl. The Mishnah, actually, as we have it printed in front of us on Kuf Yud-Beis Amud Beis, had the word Bahamatsura, but our Gemara over here is going to start with that the original version, the original Girsa of the Mishnah, did not have the word Matsura. So now, the Mishnah had described, when it came to the Zov, Zova, and Yeledes, if they brought their Chakas or their Osham outside the Azara before the proper time. And the Mishnah had said they're potter because again it's Mechusa's man. So Gemara says, "Vahani b'nei Ashamas ninu." Any of these things, Zov, Zova, and Yeledes. Since when do they bring an Asham? A Zov and a Zova bring an Ola and a Zov, Zova, and Yeledes all bring an Ola and a Chatas. So what Asham? So Omar Ze'iri Toni Mitzorah Bahadayu. So Ze'iri says you're right. You have to add the word Mitzorah to the Mishnah, and then it works out because one of the korbanos that a Mitzorah brings, he brings in fact 3 korbanos, and he brings an Osham, an Ola, and a Chatas. The Osham is always going to be an animal. The Ola and the Chatas will be animals if he can afford it, and birds otherwise. So there you go. Then so the Osham. So you have to add the word Mitzorah in the Mishnah, and then the word Osham makes sense, which is how we have in the Mishnah, in the printed Mishnah, that we have the word Mitzorah. So then the Mishnah had said Olisein v'sham mehem. The Mishnah had said, on the other hand, if they bring their Olas or Shlomim prematurely outside the Azara, then they are chayev, because an Ola or Shlomim could be brought even voluntarily, and therefore we can still call it Roy Lover with them. So again, the same question. V'hani b'nei Shlomim ninu. Which of these people are bringing a Shlomim? All these ones that we mentioned, again, Zov, Zova, and Yeledes are bringing only an Ola and a Chatas. The Mitzora is also bringing an Osham. None of them are bringing a Shlomim. So why is the Mishnah mentioning Shlomim? The answer is, Amar Rav Sheshet is Toni Nazir. So Rav Sheshet says, in a similar way, you have to add the word Nazir into the Mishnah. And a Nazir, when a Nazir successfully finishes his Nazirus, he brings a Chatas, an Ola, and a Shlomim. And in fact, the Osham would be relevant to him as well, because if a Nazir becomes Tomei, then he brings then he brings an Ola, a Chatas, and an Osham. So you have to add the word Nazir, and then that way the Shlomim makes sense. Well, the Gemara points out, the Ze'iri kavur Tanoi, what Ze'iri added to the Mishnah, the Tanoim then added it to the repertoire of Mishnayos. So once Ze'iri pointed this out, then the Tanoim, the ones that, when we say Tanoim, we don't mean the Tanoim as in the generations of Tanoim, we mean the ones who would repeat the Mishnayos Val Peh in the Yeshiva so that they could discuss them, they added the word Mitzorah to their repertoire. Rav Sheshes like of Or Tanoi, but they did not add Rav Sheshes' statement about the Nazir, so we have the answers in the Gemara. It's like a Chasuri Mechsera, but Ze'iris, they actually added to the wording of the Mishnah, and from then on, they learned the wording of the Mishnah, including the word Mitzorah. So why is that? Tosfos says, why did they accept Ze'iri's edit and not Rav Sheshes's? Because the Mitzorah at least is similar to the Zav, the Zav and Yeledes, in that there was Tumah involved. The Nazir, there's no Tumah involved. It is true a Nazir has a minimum, there's a minimum time when he can bring his Korbanos. He can't bring them before the end of his Nazirus. But nevertheless, it's not really in the same category because there's no Tumah involved, and therefore the Tanoim preferred to leave it out, and it's implicit in the fact that the Mishnah mentions Shlomim, so we consider it like a Chasuri Mechsura, which is not necessarily added to the words of the Mishnah. As opposed to Ze'iris, then fine, that's another type of Tumah, and therefore the Tanoim had no problem adding it to the repertoire of Mishnayos. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and discuss more about this point of having brought these korbanos prematurely, and when a person is chayav for them and when he's not.